Romans chapter number 14 is where we'll start today. Romans chapter number 14. And I'm glad we have a God that's bigger than any problem that we face. And the Bible says that He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And I think sometimes we just do too much thinking and not enough praying. And we let the old accuser, Satan, get in our mind and give us those imaginations, things that are not true, not based on truth, rather than just getting on our face before God and letting Him know. Let our petitions be made known unto the Lord. And we'll talk about that tonight. And so I appreciate that song. Well, we've been preaching through the end times events, and we've kind of gotten away from it just because of other activities that have gone on and Father's Day and things like that. But we'll get back into it this morning. Romans chapter number 14. Let's stand together. We're going to read three verses, and then we'll be seated. Romans chapter 14. And the events just continue to get worse this summer around the world. And you got to think Jesus is coming back soon. And we've already talked about the rapture, and there's nothing else that has to happen before Jesus comes back. So if you think there's going to be some sign or some whatever, it's not going to happen. The only thing that we're waiting on is the Lord to come back. And when He comes back, you either are going to heaven or you are going to stay here on earth for a while, but then you're doomed to hell's fire for eternity, to the lake of fire. So you want to be sure that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're saved, then when you go to heaven, eventually you'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Every Christian, every born-again person is going to stand face-to-face with God of heaven, the God, a creator God, Emmanuel, God with us. So that's what we're going to read about here. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Not the lost, they won't stand at the judgment seat, but you and I. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. By the way, every knee and every tongue will one day, even those that will stand at the great white throne judgment. Philippians 2 tells us that one day every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that He is Lord to the glory of God. Unfortunately, if you reject Christ in this lifetime, you'll realize who He is later, but it'll be too late to save your soul from hell. The Bible says, so then every one of us, every one of us shall give account of his neighbor. Doesn't say that? So then every one of us shall give account of his or her spouse, his or her parents, his or her children. So then every one of us shall give account of his church members. So that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You know what that means? Himself or herself. The judgment seat of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, would you bless our time today? I pray to be helpful, fruitful, and Lord, that eyes will be opened, and Lord, that we'll be alert to the fact that the rapture certainly is coming, and Lord, we would prefer it to come quickly, but it's in the mind of our Heavenly Father. And I pray, God, that we would just, as we await the rapture, prepare ourselves for the judgment seat of Christ. And I pray, Lord, today you would challenge us from your word. And Lord, if someone here is lost without Christ, I pray that Holy Ghost conviction will fall upon them. And Lord, that today will be the day that they get saved. We'll ask you to bless. We'll thank you for what you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen. You could be seated. It's been a few weeks, so I want to do just a quick review, not all the way back in the judgment seat of Christ. We've gone through a couple of messages on the judgment seat, but I just want to quickly review what the judgment seat of Christ is. Not, number one, it is not a judgment to determine final destination. When you take your last breath here on earth, you have determined your final destination. Now, that Muslim in a truck the other day ran over a lot of folks, and then they shot him dead. The moment they shot him dead, he went to hell to burn for eternity. He didn't go find a bunch of virgins somewhere in some paradise. He went to hell to burn for eternity, not because of what he did there, but because he was born a sinner and never realized that only Jesus Christ could save from sin. the moment that they took that robot and went in that parking garage in Dallas and blew that fool up, he didn't go to some paradise because he was some hero to his people. That man went to burn in hell for eternity. You say, how do you know he wasn't saved? Because the Bible says a murderer doesn't have eternal life dwelling in him. But the moment that you close your eyes in death, you could be sitting in a church pew. And if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior when you die, then you have solidified your faith. You have to go to hell, to the lake of fire. By the way, according to the Bible, that's all we want to talk about is the Bible. I see guys on TV, on some of the religious stations, spewing stuff out that's not biblical. I read stuff online that is not biblical, and things about heaven and things about God and things about Christ and things about the Holy Spirit. And I watch sometimes some of us share those posts and like those posts. And friend, we've got to get back to what does the Bible say? It's not Bible just because it's religious, just because it has the appearance of religion. But the judgment seat of Christ, it is not a judgment to determine final destination. You and I determine that when we determine whether we're going to accept Jesus Christ or reject Jesus Christ as Savior. You say, well, I'm not sure that I'm saved, and so, but maybe I'll live long enough and I'll accept Christ. Well, we don't know the bounds of our habitation. We don't know how long we're going to be here. We don't know if God's going to give us 90 years or if he's just going to give us 19 years, young people. We just don't know. Better to be safe than to be sorry for an eternity. You say, you really believe in forever somewhere? Yes. Why? Because the Bible teaches it. And my faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Everything I believe is in that book. I don't have to explain it for it to be true. I don't have to understand it all for it to be true, because his ways are not our ways. His ways and his thoughts, the Bible says, are higher than ours. All right, so the judgment seat of Christ, when you die and stand at the judgment seat, God's not going to say you get to go to heaven, you don't get to go to heaven. So these jokes that people tell, well, I reckon one day I'll get to the pearly gates and Peter will decide whether or not I get in. I'm not looking for Peter at the pearly gates. And the Bible doesn't say Peter's going to be at the pearly gates. And the Bible doesn't say that anyone's going to be at the pearly gates deciding whether or not you get in. By the time you die or the time the rapture takes place, your name is either in the Lamb's Book of Life or it is not. It's not in the Baptist book. It's not in the Mormon book. It's not in the Church of Christ book or the Catholic book or the Southern Baptist book. Your name must be in the Lamb's Book of Life. The judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment to determine purgatory. Purgatory is misunderstood and mistaught scripture. It's a lie straight out of hell. When you die, yeah, if you're without Christ, you go straight to hell's fire. But if you're born again, if you're saved, there is no purgatory. There is no purging fire that you have to go through. Jesus paid it all to him. He put away our sin, the Bible said, on the cross of Calvary. And so there is no price that you and I have to pay called purgatory. If you've ever heard of purgatory, that's a lie. There's nothing true about that. The judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment to punish us for sin. Now, I believe some Christians think this way. There have been times I've thought that way before. I really studied and realized that, folks, listen, when Jesus saved us, he said, I'll remove your sins as far as the east is from the west. And there is actually a North Pole. Santa Claus is not there, but there is actually a North Pole, and there is actually a South Pole. If you went south far enough, there would be a pole there, a point of reference. But you go east and west, guess what you do? You just keep traveling around this old earth like the jet stream does. It just is never ending. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, in Romans 8 and verse number 1. So the judgment seat of Christ is not where you stand up and the screen comes down and it says, this is your life. And you did this after you got saved and you did that. Now, friend, we could break fellowship with God because of our sin in our Christian life, but we do not lose our salvation because of the sin in our Christian life. We just have to get our fellowship restored and the blessings of God restored and the chastening of hand off of us. But all of our sin, past, present, and future, is under the blood of Jesus Christ. never to be paid for again. It was paid for on the cross of Calvary. So the judgment seat of Christ is not a place where, well, when we get to heaven as a Christian, I'm going to have to give an account because one time I yelled at somebody. Well, maybe a few times I yelled at somebody in traffic, and boy, and that screen's going to come down. They're going to show everything I did since I got saved. That is not the case. But friend, I would have more fear of God now, His chastening hand, than I would about my friends and family at a judgment seat seeing a screen and what I did as a Christian. It's not a place to punish us for sin. And I reminded you a few weeks ago, our punishment is now. You see the world cursing God and man, loading up the boat and going to the lake, could care less about God, could care less about the Bible, could care less about Jesus Christ, and it seems like they've got it all together. They have no problems. Friend, whatever they have, it's only going to be in this lifetime. The psalmist said, then understood I their end. He went into the sanctuary of God. Hey, he got in the Bible and he realized the end of folks without Christ is only hell. So live it up while you can. But we as Christians, we can't sin and get away with it. If you're living in known sin and rebellion, and I mean, there's no conviction. It doesn't bother you to be a hypocrite. It doesn't bother you to never open your Bible, to rarely ever go to church, to listen to the world's music. You may want to check on whether or not you ever truly got born again, because the Bible said when we got born again, God gave us the Holy Spirit of God. And if any man had not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. And the Spirit of God leads us and guides us into all truth. He convinces the world of sin, convicts the world of sin, tells us when we're doing wrong. It's not a judgment to punish us for sin. The judgment seat of Christ is not an immediate judgment after death. And we talked about that a few weeks ago. It couldn't be right after death. Many of our loved ones have already gone on, and they're in heaven today. I think about Brother Bill Pope, who died 5 years ago and went to heaven and was a faithful man of God. I think about Brother Benner, who was a deacon for Brother Hiles at Miller Road Baptist Church, and later on in life was out here with us for years with my dad and with me. They didn't go straight to their reward right then, because the people they taught, the people they encouraged, the people they helped, the people they won to Christ are still living, and the fruit that's on their account is also fruit to Bill Pope's account or Percy Benner's account or so forth. And Paul said to the church at Philippi, he said, this is fruit to your account. So the judgment seat is not right after you die. The judgment seat of Christ is not the same as the great white throne judgment. There's one judgment seat of Christ for saved folks where rewards will be handed out. And then 1,007 years later, there will be what's called the great white throne judgment. This is where those that are lost, those who have already been thrown into hell, will be raised back up out of hell. It's that one temporary moment they're lifted up out of hell and judged according to their works and then cast into the lake of fire for eternity. And the Bible calls it the second death. You say, how do you know it's 1,007 years? Because we'll see as we go down the road here over the next few weeks. When the rapture takes place, those who are saved are going to heaven. For 7 years, though, there's going to be tribulation here on earth like the world has never seen. And after those 7 years, Jesus is coming back. We'll come back. 1 Thessalonians 4 says that when we do meet him in the clouds, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he made us a promise there. He'll never leave us physically again. And then we see over in Revelation 18 or 19, 19, I believe it is, where we're coming back with Jesus on those horses. That is for the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And then after that 1,000 years is what's known as the great white throne judgment. And those who died without Christ stand before that judgment, stand before God without hope. I want to talk to you for just a little while here this morning about what the judgment seat of Christ is. In our text, if you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews chapter number 6, what the judgment seat of Christ is. All right, so on God's timeline, God created man 6,000 years ago, created the heavens and the earth and all of that, and there are 6,000 years of human history. And the Lord came and died on the cross and became man. He was just as much man as though he'd never been God, just as much God as though he'd never been man. But the Bible says that he was without sin. He knew no sin. He died on the cross for your sin, Adam's sins, Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Adam's sins were placed upon us, the Bible says in Romans 5, not unto the same similitude. We didn't have to commit the same sin. We were just born sinners. We were born with a sin nature. You've heard it said, we're sinners by birth and we're sinners by choice. The first time you threw that sippy cup at the back of your dad's head in the car and smacked him, it's because of sin nature. Zach, you're looking at your dad like you did that this morning. I'm in trouble. But it's because of sin nature, whining and crying babies. It's because of sin nature. We want our way. We want mama right now. That's the sin nature. But Jesus Christ came to earth to die for us on the cross of Calvary, and our sins were placed upon him. All sins of all mankind were placed upon him on that cross, and he paid our sin debt on that day. And those who will accept Jesus Christ as Savior, not because of who we are, but his righteousness will be placed upon us so that in God's eyes we're justified. It's justified, never sinned in God's eyes. Not because I wasn't a sinner, not because I'm not still a sinner, oh, wretched man that I am, but because Jesus Christ died to pay my sin debt on the cross of Calvary. Now, we got saved, got born again. Make sure that you know that you know that you know that you're saved, because one day the trumpet's going to sound. And by the looks of things, it can't be very far away, but one day the trumpet's going to sound. And you say, well, maybe it's going to last another 100 years. Well, okay, well, then none of us will be here. You're assured. I'm 41, just about 42 here. In a few more handful of more months, I'll be 42. I don't know if I'll live to be 60. I don't know if I'll live to be 70. You could start the countdown and say, hey, I may be with the Lord in the next 20 years. 30, 40 years, pretty much probably a guarantee I'm going to be with the Lord. Be sure that you're ready. Now, what the judgment seat of Christ is, number one, if you found your place there in Hebrews chapter number 6, the judgment seat of Christ is a place of recognition. It's a place of recognition. The Bible says in Hebrews 6 and verse number 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name. We on Sunday night, we have praise reports. And oftentimes we'll talk about things. I know that the Parkers did some things in our rose garden. I noticed the other day, I thought, man, that looks beautiful. That's the best it's looked all summer. And then I found out later they had done that. And Brother Greg had come up and sprayed some of our grass in the back there. And many things happened. Brother Cunningham changes the ballast out on these lights full of crickets all the time. And man, I wish this plague would go away, don't you? These things will not go away. But people do things all the time, and sometimes people do things that no one recognizes. But I want you to know that God recognizes it. You don't have to tell everybody. God recognizes it, and all that you've done since you've been saved, you know you can't remember every lesson you ever taught, every outing you ever went on, every soul you ever won to Christ, every door you ever knocked on. You can't remember all that, but the Bible says God's not unrighteous to forget. God does not forget. But I want you to notice here in verse 10, it doesn't say in that you have ministered, notice here in verse 10, that you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints, and, anybody see that next word? What are the next two words? What are the last two words in verse 10? Do minister. Well, I used to be a Sunday school teacher. You on life support now? You on hospice? Well, I used to run a bus route. Did Jesus come back? Well, I used to work with the youth. Well, I used to do missions work. Well, I used to preach the gospel. Well, I used to knock on doors. Well, man, I tell you, 10 years ago, I was good at this, and 5, I was good at that. What happened to us? See, God doesn't say, and I'm just like you. Sometimes I just want to go sit on the beach somewhere and say, you know what, I did my time. Come on, be honest. If you've been at this thing more than a few years, sometimes you think, man, I could go get a side job and take care of me and my family, not listen to anyone else's opinion about me, and not have to worry about, you know, all this, some of the nonsense that takes place. But you know what motivates me to keep on keeping on? It's the judgment seat of Christ. And God said, you have ministered, but you do continue to serve. And we desire there in verse 11 that every one of you do show every one of you, do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. What, the end of what? The end of the day? The end of 2016? No, to the end of your life. till the end, till Jesus comes back, if that's what happens first. But God says, hey, I want you to be faithful, and I want you to continue to serve. And you may not have the same energy and the same health, and you may not be able to serve in the same capacity that you always have, but doing nothing as a child of God is not an option. One of the most discouraging things to me, and every pastor is different. Some pastors, they get discouraged because maybe no one tells them that they appreciate them, or no one tells them that they preach a good sermon for a while, or whatever it may be. That doesn't necessarily, everyone likes an encouraging word, but that doesn't necessarily, that's really neither here nor there with me. What discourages me is when you get a church full of people and you think, oh, what potential, but you can't get some folks woke up enough to get them involved, because you got to be faithful first. The judgment seat of Christ ought to motivate you. The judgment seat of Christ is a place of recognition where God's going to say, hopefully, He's going to say to you, hey, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Revelation 22:12, the very last chapter in the Bible, Jesus says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And so sometimes in Sunday night praise report time, somebody says, hey, I appreciate Brother Miss So-and-so. They came by the hospital when I was in the hospital. And you kind of feel good about yourself. You feel like, man, hey, somebody recognized. By the way, we don't do our alms before men to be seen of men. It's okay when folks recognize, but the real test is when we think we did more than the other person this week and they get recognized and we didn't. That's the true test of our motive. We're to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, as we talked to the young men a little bit about that this morning, about their relationships to others. It's a place of recognition. And one day, that just, if you had time to sit and think about it, one day everything you've done for Christ, He's going to remember. You ever met an adult? Those of you who've been around a while, you met an adult, and they said, hey, you taught my Sunday school class 12 years ago. You used to run my bus route. Hey, you drove my bus. And you think, I don't remember that. If you're like me, I don't remember a week ago. My wife says, the one thing good about you is you can live in the present because you can't remember anything. I don't know if it's because I don't eat vegetables. Maybe I don't eat my memory green beans or something. I don't know. Sometimes that's good. But the way I see it, hey, God's got it all remembered. I don't need to remember all that. I wish I was a little better at names. I can't remember names, but I don't have to remember everything that the Lord's allowed me to do for Him in the last 20 years, because I know there's a God in heaven who says, I'll recognize you at the judgment seat of Christ. Let me give you a second one, and that is this. Turn to Revelation chapter number 14. Revelation chapter number 14. By the way, I'd hate for the Lord to stand up at the judgment seat and say, you were so good for 20 years. But what happened to the last 20 years of your life? I don't know if God's going to allow me to stay in Will's Point. I don't know if God's going to allow me to pastor for the rest of my life. I started at a young age, at 26 years old, I think I was. And so, I'm in my 16th year, and next year being my 17th year, it won't take me long to hit 20 years in the ministry. Most people don't stay 20 years in the ministry, much less at one church. But I can be 30 years in the ministry and just be a little over 50 years old. I could be 40 years, and that's unheard of, and just be 60 years old or a little bit. So I have a potential of pastoring many decades. I don't know what God's going to do with me in the future, but I know this. I don't want to be put on a shelf, and I don't want to put myself on a shelf. And I don't want to look up one day and say, well, I've done that which was my duty to do. Now I'm just going to eat, drink, and play and have a good old time and maybe make it into church every once in a while. I don't want to do that, because there's a judgment seat of Christ. And we'll see down the road in a few weeks, we can lose rewards. We can lose and not gain a full reward. It's a place of recognition. Revelation 14, the Bible says in verse number 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And by the way, folks, just hang on. Just be patient. Just endure. Just wait on the Lord. I know the world's getting ugly, and I know that even our own country today, the system is fighting against Christianity like never before. I don't know if you saw it or not, but in Ohio, in Cleveland, where the Republican National Convention is this week, they've allowed a billboard from the atheist. They've allowed a billboard to be put up that shows that somebody, they doctored it, but it makes it look like Ted Cruz and Donald Trump are kissing each other. But one group wanted to put up a scripture scripture board about God, and the city denied them the opportunity to do that. You and I have to just be patient. We have to hang on because we win. In the end, we win. The Bible says in verse 13, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." There are those works again. "But that they may rest." Not only is the judgment seat of Christ a place of recognition, the judgment seat of Christ is a place of rest. I remember Brother Richard when he and I were teenagers and we roofed houses together. And I remember taking those four bundles on our shoulder at a time. Man, that was tiring. Both of us were skin and bones when we were kids. We were like, we had three shingles and we were, you know, just trying to make it up the ladder. But Brother Richard, I remember those days roofing those houses, and Weldon Barker and my dad, those guys, they'd work your tail off. You'd get out there early in the morning, you're already tired, and by 9 o'clock it's 100 degrees. And remember the year we worked in Arlington, and it was horrible, and the pitch on those roofs was horrible, and you had to stand on the boards and tear it off and clean it up and put the shingles back up, and it just was a mess. There was nothing like either break time or when we were just done. Brother Weldon Barker used to have a saying. His ranch out here was called the Thunder Chicken Ranch because he was raising emus at the time. And he would say, "Well, let's point the truck towards the Thunder Chicken." I was like, "Oh, yeah, let's go to the Thunder Chicken. Let's just go get some chicken right now. I'm hungry." But, man, it'd be so tiring. But there was something about laying out underneath the shade tree and drinking some water, just getting some rest from all of that work. I don't know about you, but I know most people in here are tired this morning. Not because you stayed up too late last night. Some of us probably did. But just because life is tiring and parenting is tiring, Christianity is tiring, serving God is tiring. Man, I couldn't hardly be honest with you, stay awake at my desk this morning. I get here about 7:30 to drop the kids off to ride the bus and work on the buses and things, and I just sit there and read and study and review all the messages and things, and I just found myself doing this. And I'd already had coffee, and I was so tired and so worn out. In the last 6 weeks, we've had a couple of camps and a youth conference, had a wedding, a couple of funerals, preached in Arkansas. We've had a missionary. We've had two college groups to take care of and have them here. And we had our Independence Day picnic. And just everything that is normal in our life as parents and everything normal in the ministry. And I'll be honest with you this morning, I'm just about wiped out. I'm just about to my wits' end physically just because I'm tired. And I know many people in here in the middle of July, you're hot and you're tired. And I want you to know the judgment seat of Christ is a place not only of recognition, but it's a place of rest. The Bible says that they may rest from their labors. At the judgment seat of Christ, all of our earthly work for God will be completed. No more doors to knock, no more buses to run, no more sermons to prepare. By the way, you ever read the verse that says, "Much study is a weariness of the flesh"? Now, I'm not trying to be Obama about this. I heard he referred to himself 40-something times the other day, our beloved president, when he came to memorialize our police officers. But folks, sometimes I'd rather be out digging a ditch. I'd rather be up putting a roof on than have to prepare another sermon. I love the Word of God in it, but there's much labor involved in study and preparing and praying. And God, what's next? Where do you want us to go? What do you want me to preach? And getting an introduction and getting points and those sorts of things. So it doesn't matter if you're out working out in heat all week long, or maybe you're one of those that is working in an office. We're all tired. But thank God, one of these, some of you, maybe you're not. You need to get tired. Quit sleeping all day and chasing Pokemon. It's a place of recognition. And some of our kids the other day at youth conference were bragging about how many apps they had on their phone. And you probably brag about how many naps you have too. Naps and apps. Why don't you start bragging about how many cars you washed and yards you mowed. It's a place of recognition. It's a place of rest. Let me give you one final one. We'll stop for today. And that is that the judgment seat of Christ is a place of reporting. It's a place of reporting. We will give an account for what we did with what we were given. We'll give an account for what we did with what we were given. I have some hero preachers. Of course, my dad is one. Dr. Bob Smith, who preached here a few weeks ago, was my homiletics teacher, my preaching teacher in Bible college, and is a hero of the faith and has done some great things. He pastored a church of over 1,000 people there in Arlington, Texas for many years. Brother Angel, Brother Terry Angel, who we got to see this week, is a hero of mine, someone that I look up to. But I don't have to be Terry Angel. I don't have to be Bob Smith. I don't have to be Carl Ogden. But I do have to be the very best me that I can be by the grace of God. You don't have to be someone else in the church, and you don't have to measure up to that lady or that man or that family. But God does expect you to do for him all that you can with what he's given you. Well, I don't have that kind of energy. I don't have that kind of zeal. I don't have that kind of money. But you have a little energy. You have a little zeal. You have a little money. You have a little time. We have a lot more sometimes than what we think we do or we're willing to admit that we do. The Bible says the judgment seat of Christ is a place of recording, reporting. The Bible says in Luke 16, verse 1, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. One day we're going to have to give an account. A steward is a manager of the affairs of another. And our life is not our own. God gave us our life, but he gave us our life to serve him. Some of you could serve him by teaching a Sunday school class. So all of us should serve God by passing out gospel tracts, by being a witness for Jesus Christ. Some of you could serve him in the bus ministry. Some of you could serve. I'd like to see a couple of buses running again here pretty soon. I think it would maybe help us in some ways. I think some of our teenagers would love to be back on a bus and working and serving. And even some of our bus riding teenagers do a great job of singing songs and things. I'd like to see that again, but we have to have faithfulness. We have to have consistency. In the next couple of months, we're going to split the super church, a younger division and an older division. We have to have more workers for that, but we can't have folks that aren't showing up faithfully, folks that are not tithing, folks that won't show up. You say, well, but you don't do weekly soul winning. Well, right now we don't, but if you can't show up one time, 1 month to one tract distribution, you say, well, but that's the day that we already had planned. But I rarely ever have someone come up to me and say, can we go Thursday night and actually follow through with it? Some have. I'm saying to you that we should do what we can with what we have, and that's all God expects. But I have a feeling in our church, as well as other churches, that there are a lot of folks sitting on talent that God could use greatly if we would just, one word, commitment. Well, if I teach, I got to study, I got to visit, I got to be there, I got to tithe. Well, if I get involved in the children's church ministries, he's going to expect me on Sunday night and Wednesday. That's where we miss out. God, it ain't preacher expecting. God said, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. It ain't preacher. I hear people do this to me all the time. They're like, I got a raise. I bet you're going to like that preacher. They'll have a tithe envelope. I bet you're going to like that preacher. You get more tithes. Like, this is not about me. I get a paycheck. This is not about you. Say, well, man, you get a paycheck. Oh, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, you're my work. You're my work. Promise you making tacos is easier. And burritos. Come to think of it, a lot of gas blown there and a lot of stuff blown here. It kind of, yeah. Kind of makes sense. The judgment seat of Christ. It's a place of recognition. You say, nobody ever recognizes what I do. God does. He'll reward you here, but he'll also reward you there. It's a place of rest. You say, man, I'm tired. You may be tired. But like those men in the Old Testament, believes Gideon and his men, hey, they were faint yet pursuing. They kept on. Just keep on keeping on. Do what you can with what you have. Well, I've got a little limp. I've got a little heart trouble. I've got a little problem with my hearing. I can't see like I used to see. Do what you can with what you have left. But doing nothing is not an option to Jesus Christ, who says, one day I'm going to ask you to stand before me, and I know what I gave you. And I'm going to ask you to give an account for how you lived your life as a Christian, how you spent it. Place of recognition. It's a place of rest. And it's also, one of the others is, it's a place of reporting. And one day our text told us that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let me give you the last one. It's a place of reward. It's a place of reward. God's promised us some rewards in heaven. Matthew chapter 16, 1 Corinthians 9, 2 John 8. Next week we'll start looking at those rewards. And next week we're going to look at the criteria. How do I gain those rewards? A kid goes to a Shenanigans or a Chuck E. Cheese's or whatever. You know, if you have 100 tickets, then you can get this. And if you have 500 tickets, you can get a lollipop. And then if you have 5,000 tickets and you spend $100, you can get this blow-up volleyball. And woo! God's much better than that. We're not going to get to heaven and get a blow pop because we served him for 20 years. You get two blow pops. God's much better than that. Next week we'll talk about that. What is the criteria? When God says, okay, you get to rest finally. And all those things you thought pastor never recognized or Miss Audrey never recognized or no one ever called your name or very rarely or you'd get your feelings hurt or you'd go home upset because nobody realized that you picked up that bubblegum wrapper out of the driveway. Lord says, hey, I had it all written down. Stubborn. No reason for you to get all upset. I didn't forget what you did. You say, man, people all the time, you serve them and then they want to stab you in the back. Welcome. That's Sunday school teacher, that's youth work, that's bus ministry, that's pastoring, that's pastor's wife, that's preacher's family. But we serve by love, serve one another. But in the end, we serve him. In the end, we give an account to Jesus Christ. Say, who are you pointing at over there? I'm pointing at Jesus. He's not on that cross, but it reminds us of the Savior that died for us. The judgment seat of Christ. If you're here today, you don't know the Lord as Savior, let me encourage you to be saved. We'll have a time of invitation. We've got one baptism here in just a moment. Look forward to that. But a time of invitation. Someone could take a Bible in just a few minutes' time, tell you how you can be saved and safe and secure forevermore. You say, you really believe that you can know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? Absolutely. You can be sure and know for sure you're going to heaven when you die if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time. Thank you, Lord, for the judgment seat of Christ. I pray that it will motivate us in some of our most lazy moments and our most tired moments. At some of our most discouraged moments in life, I pray that one of the motivating factors will be the judgment seat of Christ, standing before you one day, not wanting to be ashamed, wanting to have a good report, wanting to get a full reward. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us this morning to live as we ought to live as Christians, be faithful, find a place of service to you. Well, if there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus as Savior, I pray that you'd help them to see this morning that you love them, that you sent your Son to die for their sins, that no matter where they come from, no matter what they've done, you'll save them today. You'll save them for eternity. Just as much as this preacher's saved, they can be saved. And I pray they'll have the courage to step out, let someone take a Bible and lead them to Christ. Bless our invitation time, I pray in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed.